जय राधा पंजाबी Yeah. Bhakti Bhakti Vedanta Swami. Namaste Sarasati Devi Gauravani Pachami. Yavarishesha Samyavani Vasuji. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Bhagavad Gita. Chapter 12, text number 9. I'll read first the Sanskrit. Is there echo? Is there a need for echo?
Right now.
Hare Krishna. Thank you. I used to be a musician. I used to use the echo a lot. I know what it is.
God voice.
Huh?
It makes you sound like God.
I didn't think like that back then. Okay. Atachitam samadhatum nashaknosi mayistiram abhyasa yogena tatomam ichaptam dananjaya. Translation. My dear Arjuna, O winner of wealth, if you cannot fix your mind upon me without deviation, then follow the regular principles of Bhakti Yoga. In this way, develop a desire to attain me. Purport. In this verse, two different processes of Bhakti Yoga are indicated. The first applies to one who is actually developed an attachment for Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, by transcendental love. And the other is for one who has not developed an attachment for the Supreme Person by transcendental love. For this second class, there are different prescribed rules and regulations one can follow to be ultimately elevated to the stage of attachment to Krishna. Bhakti Yoga is the purification of the senses at the present moment in material existence. The senses are always impure, being engaged in sense gratification. But by the practice of Bhakti Yoga, these senses can become purified, and in the purified state, they come directly in contact with the Supreme Lord. In this material existence, I may be engaged in some service to some master, but I don't really lovingly serve my master. I simply serve to get some money. And the master is also not in love. He takes service from me and pays me. So there is no question of love. But for spiritual life, one must be elevated to the pure stage of love. That stage of love can be achieved by practice of devotional service performed with the present senses. This love of God is now in a dormant state in everyone's heart, and there, love of God is manifested in different ways, but it is contaminated by material association. Now the heart has to be purified of the material association, and that dormant natural love for Krishna has to be revived. That is the whole process. To practice the regulative principles of Bhakti Yoga, one should, under the guidance of an expert spiritual master, follow certain principles. One should rise early in the morning, take bath, enter the temple, and offer prayers and chant Hare Krishna. Then collect flowers to offer to the deity, cook foodstuffs to offer to the deity, take prasadam, and so on. There are various rules and regulations which one should follow. And one should constantly hear Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam from pure devotees. This practice can help anyone rise to the level of love of God, and then he is sure of his progress into the spiritual kingdom of God. This practice of Bhakti Yoga, under the rules and regulations, with the direction of a spiritual master, will surely bring one to the stage of love of God. Om Jnana Timirandasya Gananjana Savakaya Chakshu Unmeditam Nina Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Mukam Karoti Vachalo Bhangum Bhangayati Garim Yakripatam Aham Vande Sri Gurundina Taranam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Sri Mate Bhakti Vedanta Saman Iti Namane Namaste Sarasate Devi Gauravani Vicharane Nirvishesha Shunyavari Pasta Chale Satadane Chai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Hari Srivasadi Gaura Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. I oftentimes quote this verse because I'm oftentimes asked a question. Usually we hear, especially in reading spiritual books like Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, Chaitanya Charitamrita, we hear in lectures from various speakers in our Krishna consciousness philosophy, and in the association of devotees, it is a common goal and topic which is discussed about how to think of Krishna always. It's, in fact, Prabhupada established the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, and when it was recommended or suggested, why not call it the International Society for God Consciousness? Srila Prabhupada was quite emphatic that no, this is Society for Krishna Consciousness. And the objective for anyone who comes in contact, and he made this point throughout his books, that anyone who comes in contact with the International Society for Krishna Consciousness should be given the opportunity to become Krishna conscious in this life. I don't think anybody who's come in contact at any from any platform, from any status in life, would object to the goal, that the goal is to always remember Krishna and to never forget Krishna. Prabhupada used to quote the verse Smartavyam Satatam Vishnu Vismartavyam Najatu Chit Sarvaviri Nisedasyo Etiya Eva Kinkara, which means that Krishna must always be remembered and Krishna should never be forgotten. That all the vidhis and nishedas, all the rules, prescribed rules given in the Shastra, and all the prohibited activities are meant to serve these two principles. This is the goal. And because Srila Prabhupada spoke often about the goal. Srila Prabhupada embodied somebody who understood, always understood, and acted on the platform of having realized the goal. And he impregnated this goal into the hearts of his followers in a way as described in this verse, that the goal is to always remember Krishna, never to forget him. So sometimes, because we hear this a lot, people become discouraged. And they ask the question, how do I always think of Krishna? Sometimes it's very sincere. It's like, I almost hear their hearts crying. That, I always hear about, always remember Krishna, but I have to think about the bills, I have to think about my kids, think about the house, think about my job, I have to think about my family, I have to think about politics, I have to hear about Donald Trump every day. I have to know what's going on in the world, hearing about Iran, and hearing about... And I'm supposed to think of Krishna all the time. I'm being bombarded all the time with information, especially this is the current scenario, you know, with, I guess it's the age of information, right? Like, how much information can we absorb in the course of 24 hours? So that's, if the amount of information we got bombarded with in 24 hours, I probably in previous years was done in months. Years. Of course, newspapers were always around. People always read the newspapers, but, you know, today, I even see, I got right next to me, I have my, well, I had next to me, oh, here it is, I have my phone, you know. Get messages sometimes from Ukraine, sometimes from Russia, sometimes from Kazakhstan, you know, so, you know, information. We get bombarded. And anybody who, like myself, who speaks about the message of Krishna consciousness, I can feel empathy. That, yeah, I know, it's not easy when we're bombarded by all this information constantly. I know for myself, practically every few days I get a message which is telling me what's my next flight to my next destination. I have to begin thinking about how to prepare for my next destination. This information just, it really triggers, like it's like a trigger that triggers off a whole sequence of thoughts, and before you know it, hey, where's Krishna? Where's Krishna? And so I'm trying to at least feel this empathy towards the question when it's being asked. How do I think of Krishna all the time? And we hear various ways to do it, hearing about him, chanting about him, telling others about him. This is a way that is recommended to increase our remembrance of him. The more we hear, the more we repeat, then the natural sequence that follows is, then we'll remember. In fact, it was just, I think, two nights ago, I was speaking at somebody's home, and I was quoting Lord Chaitanya, his instruction to Korma the Brahmin. When Korma the Brahmin came to Lord Chaitanya, and Lord Chaitanya at that time was traveling, sannyasi. Everywhere he was going, he was just simply distributing the holy name of the Lord. He was inducing others to take up the chanting of the holy name of the Lord. And people were responding to his call, his transcendental call. And Kumar was thinking, I want to give up my household duties. Can I go with you? Give everything up? And Lord Chaitanya said, no, this is not necessary. And the very well-known verse that our spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, used to quote all the time, Yari deke tarikara Krishna upadesh amara gaya guru hayatari desh. He used to quote this verse, as this is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's order, that simply Yari deke tarikara Krishna upadesh. Tell everybody you meet about Krishna. As according to the teachings that you hear from Srimad Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita. And this way become spiritual master and deliver everyone in the land. So he told Karma the Brahmin, no, you don't have to give up household life. And in fact, after giving this instruction, he says, if you follow this, you'll find no obstacles whatsoever in your household life. He was giving a method. This is one way to think of Krishna. Tell others about Krishna, because when you tell others about Krishna, you have to think about Krishna. It naturally comes forward. This was Srila Prabhupada's mood, his mission, and this is how he actually pushed forward the Krishna consciousness movement. But then again, how much time do I have to tell others about Krishna? I've got to work. If I start telling my boss about Krishna, I'll lose my job. If I tell my clients about Krishna, I'll lose my clients. We begin to find various obstacles for that recommended procedure for becoming Krishna consciousness, becoming Krishna conscious. And then by the time we finish with our day's work, and our week-long obligation to family and discussing various affairs and the activities of the family and work. And then when it comes time to engage in those activities which are meant to foster our Krishna consciousness, we think, oh, I'm just so exhausted, I'm so tired. How do I... And sometimes people even ask me the question, how do I find time to chant Hare Krishna? Very common question. These are common questions. How do I find time? This verse is about finding time to chant Hare Krishna. We'll get to it. But that's what this verse is about. But we'll get to it. When people ask the question, how do I find time to chant Hare Krishna? I usually answer their question with a question. And is, do you find time to eat? And most honest people will say, of course. Why? Well, I find time to eat, because if I don't, I'll be hungry and I'll be undernourished. In other words, if you don't eat, there'll be consequences. So, if we don't chant Hare Krishna, if we don't hear about Krishna, and for those who are spiritualists, those who want to remember Krishna, there'll be consequences. But unfortunately, sometimes what happens is the consequences that come from not eating come a lot faster than the consequences that come from not chanting. It happens slowly, in the background. Consequences start coming, and you don't eat one afternoon, you fast one day and already you're suffering. Right? But, if we don't chant, we don't hear, we don't do something, then we may think, hey, I'm getting by, everything's okay, no problems right now. Life's good. And then as soon as there's a little problem, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Just like this morning we're reading about Prahlad Maharaj. Prahlad Maharaj, out of his natural humility, was saying, I don't remember all the Krishna all the time. He was saying, whenever I'm in danger, that's when I think of Krishna. That was his natural humility. Of course, we know Prahlad was always remembering. So, yes, we go on for a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, say, hey, life's good, not so bad, no consequences, and then something happens. Oh, Krishna, Hare Krishna. Then we start chanting with feeling. Krishna, save me. Krishna, help me. Krishna, relieve my anxiety. So, the consequences are not always so readily perceivable from not chanting as they are from not eating. But point is we eat because we know there'll be consequences. Similarly, for those who want to be Krishna conscious, then we should do those activities which foster or nourish our Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, we should know there'll be consequences. Maybe imperceptible, maybe gradual over time, but in due course of time, if we're not attentive to these details, and we'll find that we become overwhelmed. Stress. This is a big word. People use it. They avoid it. It's almost like they don't want to admit that it's something that they're confronting, because then they start going from stress to increased stress, and then it leads to depression, and then medication, anxiety, and then looking for, the mind becomes absorbed, and I just need some immediate relief from this. You know, chanting Hare Krishna is going to take some time, and I empathize. I have empathy for the difficulties that people confront when they're endeavoring to remember Krishna all the time. So Krishna also says here, and Prabhupada says in the purport, he says, if you cannot fix your mind upon me without deviation, and Prabhupada says in the purport, there's two different processes of bhakti yoga indicated in this verse. The first applies for one who's actually developed an attachment for Krishna. And by transcendental love. And the other is for one who has not developed an attachment for the Supreme Person by transcendental love. For this second class, there are different prescribed rules and regulations one can follow to be ultimately elevated to the stage of attachment to Krishna. Prabhupada here, and actually throughout the whole purport, he's echoing a very important verse, which is given by one of our previous acharyas. I used to remember the verse, but my age is passing. I've forgotten it, so I have to read it. Kriti sajya bhavet sajya bhavasa sarnabhida nitya siddhasya bhavasya prakritam vidhi sajyata. This verse says that when transcendental devotional service, by which love for Krishna is attained, is executed by the senses, it is called sarana bhakti, or the regulative discharge of devotional service. Such devotion eternally exists within the heart of every living entity. The awakening of this eternal devotion is the potentiality of devotional service and practice. Now this is a very, very important verse given by our previous acharya, Rupa Goswami, where he's actually explaining what is sadhana. Because this is the answer I generally will give to the people who ask the question, how do I remember Krishna all the time? And I usually tell them, look, that's the highest. That's the highest. Why don't we at least step down a little? Because Krishna does. In the very previous verse, Krishna says to Arjuna, just fix your mind upon me, the Supreme Personality of God, and engage all your intelligence in me, thus you will live in me always, without a doubt. Krishna said, okay, this is it. Fix your mind on me, always. Fix your consciousness. But then he says, if you can't fix your mind on me always, very next verse, he understands. He knows. He also has empathy. If you can't fix your mind on me always, then follow the regulative principles of bhakti yoga. And in this way, develop, cultivate a desire to attain me. I oftentimes, when quoting this verse, I give a little explanation that sometimes when people hear regulative principles of bhakti yoga, they think, because anybody who's associated with the movement, they know that we follow four regulative principles. Right? We no intoxication, no meat eating, no gambling, no illicit sexual connection. But that's not what Krishna's telling Arjuna to follow the four regulative principles. That's these regulative principles are the principles of human life. They're not the regulative principles of bhakti yoga. It's how to live like a human. Bhakti yoga, if one wants to actually cultivate devotion, these four regulative principles are favorable for the cultivation of devotion. But actually when Krishna tells Arjuna, follow the regulative principles of devotional service, what he's saying is, regulate your life in such a way that you can remember me. Because you can't fix upon your mind upon me all the time. Okay, I understand. Okay, you can't fix your mind upon me all the time. Then at least regulate your life in such a way so you can think of me. And in fact, I oftentimes quote a verse by one of our previous acharyas. His name is Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, who gives his commentary to the verse Smartavyam Satatam Vishnu Vismartavyonda Jatu Chit Sarvaviri Nisedasyur Eteyor Eva Kinkara. This verse is Krishna must always be remembered, Krishna must never be forgotten. All the rules, all the prohibitions given in the scriptures are meant to serve these two principles. So he explains in reference to this verse. He says we should take note that in this verse from the Vishnu Purana, it is stated vidhis and nishedhas. There is prescribed activities, which are called vidhis, and nishedhas are prohibited activities, things that we should avoid, we shouldn't do. Right? Many things that we shouldn't do, just as Krishna tells in the Bhagavad Gita, that one should know what his prescribed duties are. And who acts whimsically and doesn't act according to his duties, he can achieve neither perfection nor happiness nor the supreme destination. So he said, therefore, one should know what is his duty and what is not his duty according to the rules and regulations given in the Shastra. So there are prescribed activities, there are prohibited activities. So this verse, Smartavyam Satatam Vishnu, describes that there are prescribed activities and prohibited activities for remembering Krishna always. And he makes the point that for one who always remembers Krishna, then why does he have to worry about prohibited activities? He's always remembering Krishna. For one who always speaks about Krishna, many verses which describes the characteristic of one who's in Krishna consciousness. There is a verse in the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam which is described. Sukadeva Goswami says, the paramahamsas of those who have accepted me within the core of their hearts, they're attached to the topics of Lord Krishna as if they're completely ever fresh. They are always hearing and chanting such topics about Krishna in the same way materialistic persons are attached to the topics of women and sex. Sukadeva Goswami says, just like materialistic persons, because what's in their heart, whatever's in their heart, anything they seek will spontaneously trigger some katha. Right? Is they're always absorbed in these thoughts, whatever they see. Did you see that? It immediately triggers lusty desires in the heart, because that's what's in the core of the heart. So he uses that analogy, just as materialists are always attached to the opposite sex and for sense gratification, because that's within the core of their heart. The same way paramahamsas who accepted Krishna within the core of their heart, they're always attached to speaking about Krishna. And because whatever they see, it reminds them of Krishna. Whoever they approach, they immediately think, let me tell them about Krishna. They're forgetful of Krishna. They're always talking about Krishna. So one who's always absorbed in thoughts of Krishna, who's always speaking about Krishna, why does he have to stop and think about, boy, I better absorb myself, also be absorbed in the prohibited activity. He doesn't have to think about it. He's already in Krishna consciousness. So therefore, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, this verse, smartavyasatatam vishnor, now satatam, generally you take the literal translation of the word satatam. So anyone know what satatam means?
Always.
Always, yeah. Just like Krishna says, satatam kirtayantomam, yitantas chadrigabhita. Right? Always chanting my glories. Bowing down to me with great determination. Right? Satatam generally means always. So he says, but in this verse, the word satatam has a different meaning. Because for those who always remember Krishna, then they don't have to worry about the nishedas. But because the nishedas are mentioned, don't forget Krishna. Avoid those activities which will make you forget Krishna. Be careful about them. Therefore, the word satatam here in this verse means every day. That is what we mean, every day. In other words, this is Krishna's concession. For those who can't always remember Krishna. And therefore, sometimes when devotees ask this question, Maharaj, I always hear about that. I'm always supposed to think of Krishna, always supposed to remember Krishna. And how do you do it? How do you possibly do it? And let's be honest. How many here can do it every day? Just always think of Krishna. It would be nice. It would be wonderful. But we see and we hear the examples of very elevated devotees in the presence of the Lord praying for that benediction. Please help me to remember you. They pray for the benediction. Please always keep me in the association of your devotees who are always talking about you. Because if I'm in the association of devotees who are always talking about you, I remember you. And sometimes when I'm in the association of others who don't even know who you are and don't even want to know who you are and want so much from me and expect so much from me and are pulling on me, that's very difficult to think of you. So devotees pray to the Lord, please, let me be in the association of devotees. Help me, give me the strength, determination, the desire to remember you because it's so difficult. I'm always have the propensity to forget you. We just had that this morning in a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam. This is what Prahlad Maharaj was saying in the verse this morning. He was saying that I'm always thinking about my own enjoyment. I'm only thinking about my own happiness and distress. I'm only thinking about how to accumulate wealth. So many different things he was describing, I'm always thinking about. And he says, how will it be possible for me to always be absorbed in chanting your glories? He's praying to Lord Nrisingadev in this way. This is one of his prayers to Lord Nrisingadev. He's exemplifying our plight in this world. And therefore, Prabhupada is going on in this purport, and I've only simply scratched the surface. If he's saying that in the first part of the verse is that it's for those who have an attachment, and the second part of the verse is for those with no attachment has developed yet. For this second class, there are different prescribed rules and regulations one can follow to be ultimately elevated to the state of attachment to Krishna. Then he says, Bhakti Yoga is the purification of the senses. At the present moment in material existence, the senses are always impure, being engaged in sense gratification. By the practice of Bhakti Yoga, these senses can become purified, and in the purified state, they come directly in contact with the Supreme Lord. Same thing we read from Rupa Goswami. Sadhana Bhakti means engaging the senses. Right? Savupada vinyamuktam tatpara vinyamalam. Can you not disturb anything? Sarvaparavinirmapam tapparatvaina nirmalam Hrishikena Hrishikesha Sevana Bhakti Ruchate. This verse says that when one engages one's senses in the service of Hrishikesh, the master of the senses, Sarvaparavinirmapam tapparatvaina nirmalam, then there's two byproducts. One byproduct is that one becomes freed, sarva upadhi. He becomes freed from all material designations. He loses his identification with his material designation. And the other is that when one engages his senses in the service of Hrishikesh, the master of the senses become controlled. Krishna says the same thing in Bhagavad Gita. Vishaya vinivartante narahara siddhina rasavajam vasopasya pyasya paramjastvar nivartate. That the embodied soul may restrict himself from sense enjoyment, although this taste still remains, but he ceases those engagements by experiencing a higher taste, and he becomes fixed in consciousness. Sadhana bhakti means engaging the senses in the service of Hrishikesh, the master of the senses. When one engages the senses in the service of Hrishikesh, the master of the senses, then there's one verse by Prabodhananda Saraswati, where he describes that for one who receives the merciful glance of Lord Chaitanya and engages in the service of the Lord Chaitanya, then the venomous serpents of the senses become like serpents with broken fangs. They no longer have any poisonous effect. Senses are compared to be like venomous serpents. They're looking for an object to strike. That's the nature of the senses. We're always looking for some object to strike. The ears, attractive sounds, eyes, attractive sights, tongue, attractive tastes. But he says when one engages in the service of the Supreme Lord, then the venomous serpents of the senses become like serpents with broken fangs. There's no poisonous effect anymore. They don't strike the object anymore. They can't do anything. Why? Because the senses can experience higher pleasure, a higher satisfaction. This is sadhana bhakti. Sadhana bhakti means voluntarily giving our senses the opportunity to do something for Krishna. Our choice. We chant Hare Krishna for Krishna, for His pleasure. Bhajaniya paramasukha matrasasukhatvam. Our Jiva Goswami says, to the degree that Krishna is pleased by their activity, our activities, to that degree, we feel satisfaction. We get not temporary satisfaction of the senses in contact with the sense objects. This is supposed to be transcendental business. Temporary satisfaction, when the senses strike the temporary sense objects, that doesn't satisfy the self. It's only relief. But satisfaction of Krishna, when he's pleased, the satisfaction one experiences within the heart is superior. Excuse me? It's time to end. Now it's time for Radha Gopi Balava's satisfaction. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.